Praise the Lord. You know, God's hand is not short. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Listen to the, and NLT says it this way. Listen, the Lord is not too weak to save you. He's not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call. Now, the prophet Isaiah here was talking to the children of Israel, and he was declaring to them that, you know, God didn't have a problem. It wasn't God. It wasn't the problem. Wasn't God? The problem was theirs, you know, and because the Israelites weren't doing what they're supposed to, so God wasn't moving for them. You know, you got to live in line with the Word of God and confess what the Word says if you want to get God to bring you the blessing. They have forgotten the song that Miriam sang after they crossed the Red Sea. If you go back over in Exodus 15, you'll find this. Your right hand, O Lord, has become gracious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy to pieces. See, the mighty hand of God had performed miracles for them, brought them out of Egypt. He had delivered them from their enemies. He had, Israel had triumphed all their enemies and possessed the promised land with the hand of God. See, I want to focus on the hand of the Lord is not shortened. Today, many people are looking for help, someone help them. They're looking around, wondering where they can help can come from. You know, I think back in the 60s, I think they had there was a movie called Urban Cowboy, and I think they had a song in it, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Does anybody remember that? Well, you know what? There's a lot of people looking for help, and they're looking in all the wrong places instead of looking to the Word of God. You know, people are in different kinds of situations and persecutions and hardships and difficulties and all that kind of stuff. You know, and so sometimes when Christians get to the point and they're having troubles and trials, and they find they're not exempt from the attacks of the enemy, they begin to wonder, well, what's happening? Well, look what Jesus said in John 16:33, and I'm gonna wait and give you a chance to find that, because I want you to see this. John 16:33, you can find it on your iPhone, your iPad, or in your Bible. Some of you I see's got both. I do. I got it all right here. I got a whole bunch of translations right here on this phone sitting right here. But, all right, how many of you found John 16:33? Okay. These things, now this is Jesus talking. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will. Don't you know it? You will. This is Jesus talking. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now look at it in the NLT, the New Living Translation. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I want you to remind you that Jesus said that we would have problems and we'd have difficulties and so forth, but his hand is not too short to reach out to help us. Hello? See, it's time that we don't not be afraid in all of our situations. It's time that we look up and realize that the mighty hand of God will help us. Look at Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Let's look at that now. Isaiah 41:10. Many of you know what it says anyway, but I'll give them, you know, even though we know what these scriptures say, many times we need to go read them. Okay. Everybody ready? Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. See, I said here, don't be afraid. It's time to believe the mighty hand of God will help you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I don't know how many times in the Word of God you'll see the phrase, the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. See, this is not a time of fear. This is the time to use our faith and believe what the Bible says. You know, it says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be removed. Anybody ever read that in there? Any of you ever went and looked up how small a mustard seed is? It is a little bitty thing. Not much to it at all. Yet, he said, if you have that much faith. You know, some people say, well, I don't have much faith. It don't take much faith. All it does is take a little faith to believe what God said. When you activate your faith, it's a, no matter whether it's small or large, because he commented, and some people, great is your faith. So it can be small or great, depending on you, just like muscles. We all have muscles, but they're great or small or in between, depending on how much we work out. And it's the same way with our faith. Paul said to the Thessalonians, there in Thessalonica, he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. You know, that's what we need to have, is growing faith. But I want you to notice here that when you activate the smallest amount of faith, it's enough to move the hand of God toward you for your help, for your blessing. You know, we believe and speak the word. And, of course, that puts me right to Mark 11. And anybody that knows the Hagin Ministries knows this is our foundation scriptures that Dad come off the bat. My dad, Kenneth, the other Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm Kenneth W. These are the scriptures that brought him off a bed of affliction at 16 years old when he never heard anybody preach it or anything. He just read it in the Bible. Here it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Literal translation, have the God kind of faith. For surely I say unto you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Yes, amen. You know, too many people today, sometimes they get to believe in God, and then they don't see anything happening, and then they begin to wonder what's going on. What am I going to do? Why is nothing happening? I want to reassure you that if you continue to believe, the hand of God will reach down and help you. You know, Peter did not drown because the hand of the Lord reached out and grabbed him. Matthew 14:25-32. I'm gonna stop long enough for you guys to turn there. You may need to mark these scriptures if you don't have them marked. Now in the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch, if y'all don't know what it is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the fourth watch. So you can see how they divide it up. That's the way they divide it up, okay? Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I want you to notice back over here, when we read here in Isaiah, fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I don't know how many times in the Word of God it says, don't fear, don't be afraid. And in Timothy, it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Anybody that gets into fear does not have a sound mind. Did you ever notice if you get in fear, you panic, and you make decisions that are not good decisions. Come on. That's what fear does. Fear that paralyzes you where you don't make any decision. But he said, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I don't know how many times Jesus would say to them, do not be afraid. Anytime that the angel would come to minister to people, he would say, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, verse 28. Let's pick it up in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, that's Jesus, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, I want you to notice everybody always wants to down Peter because he sank. Well, wait a minute. There was 11 other disciples there, and not a one of them had enough courage to get out of the boat. Sometimes we need to have enough courage to get out of our safety zone and simply step out on the promises of God and believe God. Come on now. Yeah. Y'all help me preach tonight, okay? I like it when people help me preach. You know, Peter was the only one brave enough to step out. The others may have said to him, hey, maybe Judas said to him, hey, you can't do that. You can't walk on the water. Or maybe one of the others, I don't know. But hey, I can do all things, the Paul said, through Christ, which strengthens me. And then my favorite verse of scripture, if ever, you know, a lot of times and people ask me, in fact, somebody asked me to sign a Bible this morning that was going out the door from, I think that's from one of the other countries or something. They want me to sign their Bible. And I always write, underneath my name, I write Luke 18:27. Anybody know what Luke 18:27 says? I'll tell you. When it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. That's my scripture. See, he replied, what is impossible with people, this is the NLT, for people is possible with God. The New King James says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, you got to, before that scripture can come to work for you, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. How many of you have seen things that they said was impossible, even in your own life or somebody else's life, that they said was impossible, yet it came to pass? Because of what the Bible said. Because somebody is willing to believe. They said my dad would die on a bed of affliction. The doctors all said it. All of them. And yet, he got a hold of this scripture and he did the impossible. He got up out of bed when they said he couldn't. And he lived for 87 years, or right at 87 years. Amen. Preached to God, come off of that bed at 16 preaching. That's all he ever did. He never went hunting. He never went fishing. All he ever did was preach. That's what he did. You know, now he might have went. I know he never went hunting. I know we might have dropped a hook in a couple of times, but that's all. I mean, he was consumed with telling people that the hand of the Lord is there to bless you. Now, I want you to notice that he was doing okay. Peter was doing great until he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at what was going on around him, the wind, the waves. You know, there's a lot of people that start out like Peter. Everything's going good. But then they lose their focus on what the Word of God says because the circumstances get tougher. The situations become numerous until they began to focus more on their problems, their situation, their circumstance, than they focus on what the Word of God says. Now y'all getting quiet and just looking at me. You know, but I want you to notice, even if you lose your focus, he said here that he called out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus did not ignore Peter. He didn't rebuke Peter and say, "Hey, well, Peter, I'm just going to let you sink." No, he reached down and grabbed a hold of him. And what nobody ever understands is they had to walk back to the boat together. Then when they got in the boat, he said to him, "Why did you doubt?" See, in the Old Testament, with the children of Israel, that's where we got the scripture we started from in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah writing to the children of Israel. They were all the time messing up, but they would cry out and the Lord would deliver them. He'll do the same thing for you. You see, Jesus' hand is not too short, it's not too weak to reach out to you wherever you're at. You see, I want you to notice, Peter had some doubts because when he saw the wind and the wave, he began to doubt. But I want you to realize that Jesus said, "Okay, you doubted, but I'm going to save you, and next time you won't doubt." You know, we need to realize that we need to put our faith and get solid on the rock Jesus. And no matter what happens, we say, "The Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it." You know, you've heard me say that. Many of you have been here with us since we started. And you've heard me say it numerous of times. And if you hear me preach again, you'll hear me say it over and over again. "The Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it." Period. There's no question. You know, some people does the Bible really mean this? Hey, God said what he meant and meant what he said, so believe it and go on. You know, some people say, "Well, hey, you're getting a little..." Hey, that's just me. That's the way I am. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve God with everything I got. I ain't going to serve him at all. Amen. If I'm going to believe God, I'm going to believe him with everything I got, or not going to believe at all. Amen. Hello. You know, that's the way my dad taught me. He said, "Son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it." You know, y'all all know I played ball. In fact, I actually played basketball in the intramural league over at the Ramos Bible College until I was 64. But I had a coach tell me in high school, said, "Hagin, you know why you play?" I said, "No, coach, I mean, I just play." He said, "Because when you step across that line, it don't matter what's going on in your life or what's happened, how many arguments you had with your girlfriend or whatever. When you step across that line, you're 110% all the way. Your focus is on that game and nothing else." He said, "So-and-so's a better athlete than you are, but you play better than he does because you stay focused and he loses his focus." You know what? That's what happens a lot of times with Christians. Some people say, "Well, man, look how they're getting blessed." Well, the reason they're getting blessed is because you lost your focus and they didn't. They got problems too. You know, sometimes we think because somebody looks like they're being blessed, we say, "Oh, they don't have no problems." They may have bigger problems than you. It's the fact that they have zeroed in on what the Word says, and their focus is on the Word and not on all of this peripheral stuff that's going on out here. Anybody with me? It's true anyway. You can say amen or oh me, whatever. You know, there's a song. Y'all probably all know it. I mean, I start saying it, you're going to know it. "On Christ the solid rock I stand." What is it? Oh yeah, y'all know that song, didn't you? How many of you have heard that song for years? I know if you grew up in a Baptist, Methodist, or a Pentecostal church, you heard that song. Amen. Now, you might not have heard it if you was over in Lutheran or Catholic or something. They probably didn't sing that song, but it's all right, you know. See, in the hour of trials, tribulation, situations, circumstance, we can't afford to take our focus off of what God's word says. Amen. I go back to it again. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. There's not a question mark at the end of that. There's an exclamation point. Emphatic. Exclamation point means it's an emphatic statement, right? Is that right? Hey, that's why. I want you to realize, in your hour of trouble, the only one that's going to be able to reach down and help you is God. Amen. How many of you found that out? Amen. How many of you have had God reach down and help you in the middle of a bad situation? Amen. Been there. I can't live. Hello? Amen. See, we need to grab a hold of the Word of God in whatever our situation is. I mean, hey, if you need healing, you don't go get scriptures about finances. If you need finances, you don't get scripture about healing. If you need protection, you don't get scriptures about something else. Find the scriptures that deal with the situation that you're going through, and hang on to them. Sometimes when we're going through life storms, we get the feeling of helplessness. But hey, remember, God is with us always. He said he'd be with us always, even to the end. You know, remember, Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side. You know, we went over there in June. We were on the Sea of Galilee, and this past June we took a trip over there. They're out in the middle of the thing. He said, let's go to the other side. Jesus went in the back, laid down, went to sleep. Now, the storm came. He probably realized that there was a storm, because if there was that much wind and waves, the boat was probably rocking. But hey, he just turned over on the other side and went back to sleep. The disciples got to looking at what the circumstances they were in, either rather than listening to what Jesus said. He said, let's go to the other side. He intended to go to the other side. Didn't make no difference. What happened? He wasn't concerned about the circumstances. Hello? Remember in Mark 5, when he was on his way to Jairus' house because his little daughter was sick, and the woman with the issue of blood stopped him. And about that time, they come to Jairus and they said, hey, don't bother him any longer. She's passed. And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, only believe. And instead of him getting all upset and saying, oh, we got to hurry, we got to get there, he said, okay. And Jesus went ahead with the one with your blood. Then they went on down there. I want you to notice that in the pressures of life, in the circumstances of life that we live in, they are marvelous opportunities to get our eyes off of the Lord and off of his hand that's reaching for us, and began to look at all of our problems. Remember, Peter said, Lord, help me. And he reached out. I imagine that when Peter saw his hand reaching, he was sinking. I don't think he waited for Jesus to grab him. He reached up and grabbed that hand. He was a fella just like we are. And now what you would do? Amen. If you're sinking and somebody reaching for you, you're going to reach up and grab. Amen. Hello? Hey, the Word of God, Jesus right here, and God, the Holy Spirit, they're reaching out with this Word. Now let's reach up and grab a hold of it and put it to work for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, the hand of the Lord is not too short to help me. Now tell somebody else, the hand of the Lord will bring me blessing if I will believe. You know, we need to realize that to receive from the hand of the Lord, it's up to us, not Him. Hello? The hand of the Lord is always available. It's up to us to reach up and grab a hold of it. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You see, the hand of the Lord is able to reach past all of our shortcomings. He's able to remove from our life the things that are hindering us. He's able to bring us through every situation. He will reach past all of our circumstances, all of our situations. Nothing is too hard for the hand of God. You've got to believe it. See, when it seems like there's no help available, remember the hand of God is with you. The hand of the Lord will bring you blessing. The hand of the Lord will bring benefits into your life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's what the psalmist said. Benefits. Benefits is something that you don't work for. Benefits is something that you're offered. Yes. Am I right?
Yes.
How many of you have ever worked at a job and say, okay, because you work here, these are your benefits? That's just because you work there. Because you're in the family of God, all of His benefits belong to us.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I think we forget that sometimes. The hand of the Lord will bring the promises of God alive in your life. The hand of the Lord will bring you provision when it looks like you don't have any provision. You see, it's not too late for you to realize that God will bless you if you will believe Him. You know, sometimes we need to realize that God works on a different timetable than us.
Yes.
The Word of God says that one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. Sometimes we think, oh man, God's taking a long time on this. But I want to tell you what. If you just keep believing Him, He'll come through.
Amen.
Amen. See, I'm talking about the hand of the Lord reaching down towards you. That's what the Word of God talks about. See, what do you need? What are you going through that needs to be fixed? I want to encourage you, take your faith and put it into what God said in this Word. And I believe that if you begin to believe what God says in this Bible, that the hand of the Lord will be there mightily to supernaturally do for you what you can't do. I want to encourage you not to give up. Because God wants to do mighty things for you. But His hand can only reach down and bless you as much as you believe what He said right here in His Word.
Amen.
Some people wonder why they're not being blessed like somebody else. It's not on God's end. You better check up on your end. Hello? You know, 99% of the time, when you don't have power for your electricity, 99% of the time, it's not the power company's problem. It's our problem. Something's wrong on our end. Now, occasionally, yeah, the power company's down because the pole is down or something. There's been a storm. But I want to tell you what, there is never a problem with the power of God. Amen. His hand is always ready. If there's a problem with you receiving, it's on your end. That's my dad used to preach this to me. He said, son, if you're not getting it, it's not God's fault. It's yours. Check up on yourself. Where are you at? Where are you at with your prayer life? Where are you at with reading the word? Where are you at with standing on God's word, even though it looks like it ain't going to happen? Where are you? You got to get to the point that I believe and say, I believe God in the face of the danger. Paul stood on that. You can go read it there in Acts. He stood on the deck of that ship and told those people, he said, I believe God even as it was told me. Now, told him, the boat's going to be lost. He said, the boat's going to wreck. But, hey, all of y'all going to be all right. See, Paul believed that, and it happened. Yes. You say, what would have happened if he didn't believe it? They probably wouldn't have all been saved. He didn't get up there and say, well, now, I think that if we'll just pray enough, if we'll just fast enough, if we'll just get our lives in better shape, God will protect us. No, he said, I believe what God said. God said this boat's going to wreck. But we're going to be saved. I believe it, and it happened. Amen. You've got to really believe. See, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I believe God. Do you really? Do you really believe God in the face of danger? Do you really believe God? I've been there. Walked off of the plane in a country. An African country. The guy I was with, I grabbed his hand as we were walking on the tarmac toward the terminal building. And I said, in the name of Jesus, while we're in this country, our feet are walking on right now. We're protected by the power of the blood of Jesus. We'll know what to say and what to do at the right time. No harm shall come to us. We won't even be bitten by a mosquito. Well, we finally got to our hotel, and we got in up there by the lake where we went. I looked up, and you could see the mosquitoes flying all around around the lights. I could hear them go, you know, we turned the lights out. How many know what I'm talking about? We lived in that hotel for a week, and not one time we ever bit. Mosquitoes was all over the place. But before we ever got to that hotel, our people that met us said, well, we're short. We're going to take you out here. You're going to get on this little four-seat airplane. They're going to fly you there. Well, we had to leave half our luggage. They said, well, we'll bring it later. Now, we pile into that aircraft. We're flying just as we're coming into land. There's a big storm coming. And that pilot goes, And he said, hey, I got to beat that storm back to the big city, back to Nairobi, which was in Kenya. And he said, I'm going to land over here on this grass strip over here. He said, there's a town there. Go out there on the highway, and there's a town in there called Caricho, and you can get a taxi. Well, we hailed down the place. We got in there, three big old guys sitting in there, and they looking at our luggage and our cameras and so forth and so on. And I heard the Lord on the inside of me say, hey, that big old candy bar you bought in London, get it out and offer it to them. So I got it out, and I broke off a bit and eat it, and then I offered it to them, and they was looking at us pretty bad up to then. Then they smiled, and I got to where I was going, and Brother Silas Owiti, the minister, said to us, he said, the Lord was with you. He said, all the time, people like you get in upon those and nobody ever sees them again. Now, we got in a taxi. to go to the other town where we're supposed to go. When he heard that we did that, he called a special prayer meeting. It was night. And he called his people up and said, come to the church and pray. He said, you don't do that. That was years ago, back in 72, I guess it was. No, 78. Years ago, he said, you just don't do that. He said, and so they were praying, and, you know, we didn't know no better. And I was so sleepy, I hadn't been to sleep in a day. I mean, we flew out of New York at night, got to London the next morning. We had to stay there all day, flew out at night then. And, you know, wasn't no hotel or nothing, walking around all day long. And I kept going to sleep and waking up. And when I come back over that road, we were on no guardrails or nothing, and it was raining. When we were going there, I saw that the hand of the Lord was over. But see, I believed it. I believe the hand of the Lord was upon us. This is, and in fact, Silas, last time I saw him, he was what, 90, I guess, 88, 90. And he still was talking about it. We were so tired when we got out of the cab, we left the camera case with a 35 millimeter Canon with all the big lenses and everything in that cab. Well, he said, I'll send somebody, but he said, nobody does that. You ever get anything back. And he went over. We didn't know what cab. He found the cab. I don't know how. See, I'm showing you what the hand of the Lord will do for you if you really believe. Yes. He found the exact cab that we were in. I don't know how he did it because I didn't know what cab it was. I didn't even know who it was. And he got our camera stuff back. Now, you say, well, why are you saying it? Because I'm showing you, if you will believe, hey, I knew enough about traveling overseas to know, hey, that's a stupid mistake. We made a stupid mistake. But God intervened. Even if you make a mistake, if you believe, God will intervene.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you to help us to realize that you're there for us. You're there to help us. If we will simply believe you, your hand is not short to reach out and deliver us and give us whatever it is we need. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Head bowed and eyes closed. If it is anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, I want you to know him tonight. Or if you're here and you need to rededicate your life to God, or you just know you go to church, but you don't know if you've ever received Jesus or not. I want to pray with you and for you. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit here. If anybody would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible said. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here want to be filled with the Spirit tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Anybody want to be prayed for healing tonight? If you want to be prayed for healing, step out and come to the front right now. We'll pray for you. If you want to be prayed for healing, come on. We'll pray for you. Just come and stand right over here, and we'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing power of God. Stand right here. Hallelujah. Stand right here, sister. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Y'all reach your hands out as we pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. I command the healing power of God to go into this body. Drive out this, whatever it is, Father. I thank you for healing power flowing now. There it is. That's the power of God. That's the power of God right there. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for the healing power of God. That's the healing power right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, why are they rocking back and forth? Why did they fall down? Well, I say it like this. When the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something's got to give, and the supernatural is sure not going to give. It's sure going to be the natural. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Remember, the hand of the Lord is always there for you. It's up to you to activate the power of God. Amen? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, you know, next Sunday night right here, 6 o'clock, come believe and bring somebody with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did Craig do all right last week? All right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, he likes to come over here and minister to y'all. We all do. We all enjoy coming over here. See, this takes me back to whenever I first was getting started. And I didn't have a microphone back then, but I don't need one now. Y'all could hear me even if I didn't have a microphone on, but we want to record it and everything. Hey, shake hands with everybody. I'll go to one door. She'll go to another door, and we'll shake hands as you go out. Remember, the hand of the Lord is not short. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. God bless.